Our scripture reading this morning comes from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And we'll begin with verse 5 and just go to verse 14. And I'll let you know that if you would like to read the rest of this section, which I will talk about, I'll share some reflections on in my sermon this morning. You may continue to read to find out exactly what happens to this remarkable woman and to the disciples when they return. But here, just now through verse 14. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the wells and with his sons and his flock drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." Thanks be to God for the sharing and reading and lifting up of this holy scripture. Amen.
And you're
Amen. Thank you, Laurel. And thank you again, everybody joining us online. On this most unusual and hectic week that we have had, on Thursday afternoon, I was still planning to gather with you here in our sanctuary and welcome those of you who felt brave enough to do so. Or it may not have been brave enough, may have been dumb enough, because if our doctor says we should do something, we should do it, right? Less than 2 hours later, as I drove home, the news broke that the state of Maryland as a whole would go into emergency mode, and schools were shutting down. A lot of things were happening all at once. It became clear that we would need to be good neighbors to one another and to our community and follow the advice of the experts and keep some social distance and do worship online. I just remind you what is being communicated. It's not so much that this virus may really impact each of us and our health. I mean, for some of us, it may just be like a flu, and it may pass in a few days. But for those, the more it spreads, the more there will be those who need to go and get a hospital bed. And unfortunately, our hospitals only have so many capacities. So we are keeping that distance and trying to limit this so that our health system doesn't get any more burdened than it already has been. You know, though I don't always get it right, one of my reminders this morning is that being a Christian and being a part of the church is not about place, okay? When we say, for example, I'm going to church, we aren't making any sense because we are the church. Wherever we are. So right now in your homes or on your back porch or out in a camping tent in a remote area of the wilderness or in your bunker, I don't know if you have a bunker, you are the church, okay? You can't go to church because you already are the church. So church is not a place or even a what. Church is a who, human beings who follow Jesus. So today, even though we are practicing our social distancing by gathering online, we are still spiritually connected, spiritually close, by way of being the church with Jesus Christ at our center. And it's been a kind of week where we need to be reminded that Jesus is at our center. My wife took an image when she visited our local Target this week. Chris, I have that image queued up there. In the mad rush to stock up on supplies and fight back against COVID-19, people were hitting the stores this week, raiding the shelves for anything they can find, including immune support supplements, all kinds of basic medicine, hand sanitizer, bottled water, milk, eggs, bread, meat, and even toilet paper of all things, because if you wrap yourself in toilet paper, you won't get sick, maybe. No, I really don't know. I don't know how that works. None of us have figured that out yet. I went on my own to Aldi in the middle of the week, and the place was wild. Shopping carts were loaded up out of anxiety and fear over what could happen. It was tough because in this land of abundance with our strong economy, we were reminded that a lot of us and a lot of our neighbors are worried that there isn't enough to go around. And I don't blame them. It's a scary time when we may be looking for leadership from our government and not getting clear information. It's a frightening time when we are told not to worry by our social media friends and then told the opposite by health professionals in our life who are deadly serious. We are told not to panic, and yet when we see those carts coming out of Costco and Aldi overflowing with rolls of toilet paper, we too start to worry. Well, maybe we need to stock up too. In our scripture today, we hear the beginnings of an encounter between Jesus and a Samaritan woman. In the Eastern Orthodox tradition of our church, she is given a name, Photini, and marked as an early saint and leader of the church. By the end of this encounter with Jesus, you will see why. Because as she becomes more of a disciple in the moment than Jesus' own disciples, who have already spent a lot more time with him than she has. The disciples and Jesus come to Jacob's well, which is an important ancestral place, common to both Samaritans and to Jews. And Jesus sits for a rest on their journey while the disciples go off to the nearest town to get some food for their journey. While Jesus waits for the disciples to return, a Samaritan woman comes to gather water. Now, one of our challenges in this scripture passage is to read it fresh. And so while we may have heard some wonderful sermons in the past claiming all kinds of things about the woman or how to understand this passage, it's always important for us when we come back to it that we just read it again without any of that, trying to put all that to the side and just read the scripture for what it is. Because some have suggested by the time of day she came that it meant something important about who she was or her social status. But we really don't know that. It could have just been a hot day. And she needed to replenish her supplies, or she was bringing her bucket because she was expecting company that night, or just to share with a neighbor. You know, we don't know. She was coming just to fill up her bucket, which was a common thing for people in that day. The scandal of this encounter is that Jesus initiates what happens next. The woman may not have been interested in talking to the strange Jewish man sitting there by the well. She likely was following her own social distancing protocol in that moment, just getting what she needed to return home. But Jesus initiates by asking her for a drink. And what follows is another example of Jesus' radical openness to conversations and Jesus' openness to relationships across cultural and religious boundaries. The woman Photini is perhaps confused and taken aback by this strange rabbi who dares ask her for something. Samaritans and Jews didn't mix in Jesus' day. This wasn't just because they liked different sports teams. It wasn't that shallow, or that they belonged to different political parties. Rather, they shared many things in common to their core faith traditions. But over the years, they grew apart and would often clash. Samaritans built their own temple on what they considered was God's holy mountain, while Jews built their temple on what they considered was God's holy mountain. And sometimes they fought about that. Around the time of Jesus' birth, it was believed that a group of Samaritans entered the temple in Jerusalem and scattered the remains of the dead in the holy places there. So this was real conflict, real serious neighbor against neighbor conflict. So when Photini states the obvious that Jews and Samaritans don't share, she was pointing to all of that history. There was bad blood between Jews and Samaritans. They didn't necessarily trust each other. So Jesus responds to her question by introducing what he has to offer her, living water. It's a curious term and really means spring water, water that flows continuously. In a land that could be dry and arid, springs are invaluable and important for communities to have access to fresh water for crops, for their flocks, for drinking, for their health. Jesus was drawing upon an image that meant something deep and universal to this Samaritan woman, to her people, and likewise to his own Jewish people. Spring water, living water, meant life. Jesus was suggesting that he had access to life. This woman, Samaritan woman, Photini, she responds kind of incredulously, "What? What are you talking about? You don't even have a bucket with you right now, and you're going to tell me you have access to living water? You don't even have a Costco membership. You don't even have a stinking quarter to get you one of the shopping carts at Aldi. How are you going to give me or offer me some of that living water? Are you serious? The response is funny. It's fierce. Fotini is not gullible. She's not about to be messed with by this itinerant rabbi. Later in this exchange, if you continue to read the passages, Jesus reveals that he knows a lot about her messy and complex life. For example, he reveals to her that he knows she has had at least 5 husbands. But Jesus doesn't label her a sinner ever in this exchange. In that little window into her life, we get a glimpse of someone who has likely experienced hard times, who has had to make tough decisions, who knows what it is like when the wells of life run dry. Her response to Jesus shows she wasn't prepared to take any flack from this itinerant rabbi. She wasn't going to be bamboozled or tricked. She was a tough cookie. Where did you get that living water? It's a demand for this rabbi to put up or shut up. And Jesus, I think, loves this woman. He loves her fierceness, so he hits right back. I've got the kind of water that will never leave you thirsty. Water that leads to eternal life. Whoa. Wow. Fotini is now, her ears have perked up. She is listening. Something deep within her becomes open suddenly to this encounter. Knowing her life, knowing how she has possibly experienced grief, losing husbands to war, famine, or even infidelity. Knowing she has had to make late night runs to Aldi or Costco when every shelf seemed to be empty. Knowing that it has taken everything to get out of bed some days. Knowing that she has been called names and dismissed and ignored, sometimes just because she's a woman. Or maybe because of what people think about who she is in her past. And now, this Jewish rabbi doesn't just notice her and treat her as a whole human being. He offers her something that she has been looking for her entire life. Living water. Something in this world that never runs out. That will never fail. That will never come up empty. Enough to share. Enough to sustain one even into eternity. Wow. The invitation from Jesus comes to me, at least, comes across to me as an affirmation of the strength and endurance of this Samaritan woman. Jesus doesn't just notice her superficially. He sees what she is capable of. He sees what she hungers and thirsts for, a sense of meaning and purpose and fulfillment, wholeness. He discards the boundaries of religious difference, remarking that through him, through his coming, we will no longer fight about where to worship, whether we're on this mountain or on this temple or on Facebook Live or YouTube Live or wherever. Rather, we will worship united in spirit and in truth. And in doing so, Jesus reveals himself to be the Messiah. The Savior that Fotini has longed for her and so many others seek to bring justice, reconciliation, and peace to this parched world. Fotini's arc in this remarkable passage is amazing. She began as a stranger, and by the end of her encounter with Jesus, she becomes a disciple. She runs back to her town and announces that the Messiah is here. Near the end of the passage, when the disciples have made their way back, they're stumbling in with their bags of burgers and fries from the local drive-thru. They see this woman and see Jesus talking to her, and they probably give both a side eye. They're like, what is going on? I'm sure Peter thought, Jesus, we can't even leave you alone for 1 minute, and you're already causing issues, right? Causing troubles. Seriously, man, chill out for a minute. So Jesus lectures his disciples, letting them know that people are hungry and thirsty right now. Are they ready to do like Fotini, like this remarkable woman? Are they ready to share this abundant gift with those who hunger and thirst for new life right now? Friends, in this time of anxiety and fear, our world and our communities need to know that through our Savior Jesus, there is living water available. At Costco this week, the employees were limiting those big packages of water to 2 per customer. But let me tell you the good news. In Jesus, the water, the living water, never runs out. It can seem in this time like our leaders can't even lead themselves out of the ditch or offer a clear vision where we are going as a country. But in Jesus, we are promised a vision to life abundant now and life eternal to come. Right now, we are being invited and told to keep a safe distance in our communities, to limit the harm of this virus, especially to those who are vulnerable. But in Jesus Christ, we are invited with courage to never let that distance become permanent. Jesus, our Savior, crosses over religious and cultural boundaries with humor, with care, with courage, with humility to share resources and affirmation that others need. And so we as followers of Jesus are called to do likewise, to be like Fotini and do the same, to share the gift we discover in Jesus and trust that there will always be more where that gift comes from. This image of living water challenges us even in how we conduct ourselves as people of faith in this political year. Can we challenge our politicians to creatively work to make our public institutions and our communities more generous and overflowing for everyone? Can we share living water to immigrants who come to our borders thirsty and hungry for justice and peace? Can we be living water to neighbors who are watching their paychecks dwindle? Your invitation as you reflect on this sermon and Jesus' encounter with this Samaritan woman is to share living water likewise. One church I heard about this week is calling up their senior and vulnerable members and ordering groceries delivered to their doorsteps on the church's dime. That's living water. That's some love. So here's what I want to invite you to do as your homework, okay? Something that you can do today, or you can do this week even as we keep our social distance. I want you to make 3 phone calls or 3 texts this week to someone in your contact list who may need to be noticed in this anxious time. Someone who may need some groceries delivered to them. Someone who may just need to hear a friendly voice and check in. Can you give them a ring and see how they're doing and offer to pray for them? Can you find out if they have groceries or needs that they're worried about getting out of the house to go get? And if you can't put that order in yourself, call me. Reach out to your pastor and your church will do it for you. Can you in some way push back against the anxiety and fear right now by sharing the living water of Jesus Christ our Lord? And in doing so, model what our world and community should look like every day. Right now, we need Jesus to show us how to live as human beings together, not hoarding our eggs and milk and toilet paper and virus tests, but sharing with each other across boundaries that divide. We need to see the dignity of each other. We need to be taught how to care for each other anew, to notice those who are coming to our watering holes looking for affirmation and connection. We need to be reminded that we are stronger together, that there is enough water, enough living water to go around for all of God's children. So where do you get that living water? We discover it overflowing in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's share these gifts this morning. Amen.